Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of Pure Heart, Pure Lariat, the exclusive Joshi show and the sister show to my normal Japanese wrestling show, the Eastern Lariat. I am your host, Mr. VTG Victory Through Guts, Dylan Fox himself. And this week, I'm not alone, not like last time. This time, I have a very special guest on, Derek, the Private Eyeball. Of the Private Eyeball podcast, a show I have been on myself, and it was a lot of fun being on with you, and I knew you were one of the first people I definitely wanted on my show right away, so I'm really happy we got you on today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, especially coming right after nobody, so, you know, I got a high bar to live up to.
That is true. The only reason why I could have had you on last week, like, to be honest with you, or last time, but the only reason I said that is because there was a ton of stuff to go on about. And yeah. I didn't want it to be a five-hour show. Like, if you listen to last week's show, it was still like a two-plus-hour show with just me.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I talk a lot, to be fair. So that's not as impressive as some other people. But still, there was a lot to actually talk about. So if you were on, we would have done a 4 or 5-hour show. And I just don't think the time would have permitted. And I think people would have gotten annoyed. More people would have went to sleep. So I just
peed. Oh, people go to sleep listening to me anyways. I have data to back that up, I think.
Really?
No, I'm kidding, kind of. I think. I don't know. Maybe. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody tells me they sent me listen to me as they go to sleep. It'd be a little creepy, but somewhat flattering.
Well, listen, he said it was at 4:30 a.m. there, so I don't blame myself for it more than anything. I don't think anything is ever my fault, personally. There always has to be a logical explanation for it. But still, like I said, we've got a really good show today, too. I'm really happy to have you on because we've got 3 big shows and 3 great matches, especially, to talk about. And we're going to kick it off. Like I said, on this show, we don't just keep it to one promotion. But since it is the Pure Heart, Pure Lariat podcast, and it is me, Ice Ribbon always has a special place in my heart, as the listeners know, as you know. So I'm going to start off with that. And also, just because it's easier, because it's in chronological order. You know, we'll be getting some Ice Ribbon, some Seed Ring, and some Stardom on this show. But we're going to start off with Ice Ribbon. The show took place on May 25th in Osaka. This is the Osaka Ribbon show itself, the new Ice Ribbon number 962. So we're nearing the 1,000th official Ice Ribbon shows, more or less, or big shows, rather. So this was a show main evented by Maya Yuki defending the Ice Cross Infinity title. In her match, as well as the semifinal match in the Kizuna tournament, which is a tag team tournament going on right now in ICE. But other than that, let's just get into it, because this aired on the 10th of June, even though it took place 15 days prior, or 16 days prior. And the show started off with a tag team match with Kyuri and Miyuki Takase taking on Tsukushi and Makoto. And this was an opener, just went under 8 minutes here. And since Takase was in the match, I'm going to throw it to you here, Derek. What did you think of this opener between these girls here?
I thought it was solid. I don't always like Ice Ribbon undercards as much as I feel like I should. I like everybody in this match, even Makoto, who I've complained about in my own show sometimes, but she's even getting really good. I thought everybody in this match was fine. It was a solid opener, but it never really stood out to me as anything more than that, which slightly disappoints me, but I guess mostly I just want a Miyuki Takase versus Tsukushi singles match. That's kind of all that's on my wish list with that.
Yeah, I really understand where you're coming from. And Takase, to me, I mentioned this on some shows. I've pretty much every time I get to talk about her, even on the Patreon for the Eastern Lariat, we did this Rage in the Cage show where my co-host brought up her to talk about. But to me, if you're talking about just somebody that wasn't really on my radar that much from 2018, just somebody that took a really big step forward in my eyes this year, Takase is near the top of the list. And like you said, I thought Tsukushi, I thought was really great here. Everyone was pretty good, but things were just a step slower, jumps a bit less forceful when others were on offense than Tsukushi and Takase as well. Makoto's somebody, to me, it's kind of weird seeing her like this, because for so long I kind of thought of her as like an idol wrestler who wasn't that great of an in-ring performer. You know, that was kind of like secondary, you know, compared to something kind of like some Tokyo Joshi Pro girls where the in-ring isn't their main selling point. I've always thought of Makoto like that. But here she actually did a little bit of stuff that I didn't expect, like that nifty setup into the rolling inverted Fujiwara armbar. that she did, I thought was well. Tsukushi hit some great drop kicks throughout, did the fake out into a foot stomp, which earned the first actual Aihara of the show, as well, Aihara on commentary, a treasure. There was some teamwork all in a row, pretty much, but I kind of liked everybody. I liked the match for what it was, and I thought Takase fit in really well in the Ice Ribbon style because she had so much personality. She would, every time she would do a drop kick, and Tsukushi as well. These two were the best ones at this. Whenever they would hit a big move, they would immediately look to the crowd and get them going. So I enjoyed their stuff in this match as well.
Yeah, we'll see Takase. We'll talk about her and Makoto both a little bit later as well. But I really have liked most of the stuff I've seen Takase do with Ice Ribbon this year, which hasn't been, you know, a ton of high-profile stuff. But I know she had a match with Julia earlier this year that was very good. She fits in basically wherever she goes, and she can kind of – you can plug her into any slot. You can plug her into a main event slot if you really needed to on some of these shows, and she would fit in perfectly. Like, she is a utility player at this point in her career.
Yeah, a huge upside. She's going to be a big star, I think, later in her career, too. But right now, she's in a perfect role here. And like you said, hopefully one day we can see Tsukushi versus her in a singles match. I think that's something that could rock the house.
Yeah, I think that's I don't know if I want to say money match because I'm not too fluent on the economics of Joshi. But I do think that is a match that I would personally pay money to see. So, you know, give it to me. Put it in my veins.
I don't know about all that, but I do agree with you that it could be something that I would pay for. Tsukushi is like my favorite wrestler, so I'm a little biased, but Takase is quickly rising up my ranks of people that I always go to, and somebody that's risen up a lot of people's rankings lately. When I posed the question on who the best debutante of 2019 is, a lot of people came to me and said, Fox, it's Benny Oikawa. And she was in the next match. She had a triple threat match with Miyako Matsumoto and Matsuya Uno here. And I feel like when you say you don't like Ice Ribbon undercards, how did you compare this match to the first one? Because you said you didn't love the first one. You thought it was a good opener. What did you think of this triple threat match between these three?
I don't like three-way matches, personally. I'm going to sound really harsh on the first three matches here, even though I didn't dislike any of them. They were all fine. They were solid, like opening mid-card sort of things. But three-way matches don't do much for me, personally. I like everybody in this match. I don't like Matsumoto as much as others do. But I think Bani Oikawa is great. There's a lot of upside there. She's done well so far. And Matsuya Uno is somebody I think that really flies under the radar more than she should.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I liked the first match, I think, better than you. I thought that was actually a pretty good tag match, legit. This, I'm kind of with you on. I have to say, the MVP to me might have been Aihara, again, for her humming along with the theme songs, which she did to Bani and Uno both. Miyako's unfortunately got muted, so she couldn't hum along to that. There was a very loud Bani fan in attendance as well. The problem is, Bani did. The good thing about Bani Oikawa is even everyone kind of knows what she's about. So even if she does something bad, it can still kind of be good. For example, that absolutely horrible cartwheel attempt into the corner kick that did not work at all. And Miyako had this idea for a combination camel clutch and crab hold on both women, which was cool on paper. And then she fell over on it, and it wasn't quite as cool in actuality. But they kind of pulled it together. They did a lot of fun stuff here. It was a rough technical match, like if you want to grade it on that aspect. But I thought it had its charm in its own way. I wouldn't say I disliked it, but I could see it. If I weren't attached to these people, like Bani and Matsumoto, I might not have been as forgiving, to be honest with you. So I have to be fair about it.
Yeah, and I should probably put that out there for people who don't know who I am, which I imagine is a lot of people. But I'm not somebody who is particularly huge on Ice Ribbon. I've been embracing it more this year than I have in more recent years, especially since I'm doing my own show. I've kind of been watching a lot of Ice Ribbon for that, and I'm still warming up to some of these undercards, but yeah, this match I thought in particular was a little on the rough side.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm a little more forgiving. I'm in the rare position of being the nice guy on this show. You know, because I feel like I'm always pegged as the villain when it comes to my other shows and things. So I'm happy with an Ice Ribbon. I can be a good guy for once. I am happy with pro wrestling right now. Although I actually honestly didn't like that match either. So I'm still a little bit of the villain. The next match, we had the Frank sisters, Akane Fujita, Hiragi Kurumi, and Mochi Miyagi, a tribute to Frank Atsushi here, of all people. They beat Hamako Hoshi, Ibuki Hoshi, and Tsukasa Fujimoto. Team Suka got the crowd into it. Our second from Aihara after a double stomp there. So what did you think of this match here? We had two Aihara freakouts, too. She had another one on the pin breakup later on. So how much do you value that in your match grading?
Actually, with these shows that air on Nico, if possible, I try to turn commentary off. And that's not just an Ice Ribbon thing. That's in general, because I enjoy watching wrestling without commentary most of the time, especially because on the Nico shows like this, there's always some muting to the audio. So I try not to listen to that. So I have no sort of recollection of Aihara yelling into the microphone.
Derek. Like I said, you let me down.
Yeah, well, that's my official heel turn.
See, I was trying to save you. You started to talk good. You were saying you're getting in more into it this year. I feel like hopefully my influence could bring you to the light, but now you turned Aihara off. But that said, we did have the match here. We had Fujimoto. Everybody knows her. Hoshi, who's been wrestling in Pro Wrestling Wave in the Catch the Wave tournament, which Wave will never let us see, unfortunately. We had a lot of people here, but what did you think of this six-woman tag? Because this was the epitome of a random undercard trios match in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I felt very similar to the first two matches. It was very solid. It was kind of forgettable for the most part, but everybody worked hard. I'm not a huge Hamako Hoshi fan. I've gotten crap for that before as well, but I stand by that. Ibuki Hoshi worked really, really well here. Like, I loved her run near the end with Fujita. That was kind of what stood out to me the most in this match. But otherwise, seemed pretty standard Ice Ribbon undercard type of match.
It was a breezy trios match. Nothing more, really. I will say, I'm not the biggest fan of comedic wrestling, but sometimes I get into it. And here, the spot where Ibuki and Suka comically tried to throw Hamako onto Akane and threw her approximately 2 centimeters off the ground and fell over, I laughed at that. I have to say, I thought it was funny. So I will give Hamako a little bit of praise there. I also thought Kurumi used her size well. I thought they really did her right throughout this match. But Akane actually won over Hoshi with the Michinoku driver. Like I said, pretty fine trios match. I kind of agree with you on this one. It wasn't anything, breaking out early on. And, you know, we get into these undercard matches, and we'll compare it to the other one later on Seed Ring. And I think a lot of people were talking about this match. I really think that Seed Ring had a better grasp of the undercard than the Ice Ribbon on these two shows, anyway. The next match, we had Rina Yamashita versus Satsuki Totoro here. And now, this was an interesting match because I thought they really tried to build this up as Totoro being a badass, like comparable to Rina. They had multiple square offs and strike exchanges and things of that nature. How do you think this all came across by the end?
I think at the start, it started off kind of slow and didn't really click with each other right away. There was one spot early on where Yamashita got Totoro on the chair on the outside and tried to do the thing where she runs around and hits the opponent. And that always just seems a little slow and clunky when people do that sort of thing. So I wasn't too into that. But once they got back into the ring and started getting going, the second half of this match was great. It was basically, from the way I saw it, it was two different matches. There was the first half, which was more of a feeling out, trying to get comfortable with each other. And then the second half was just two killers trying to kill each other, pretty much. It was great. I loved everything basically from the second half onward. Yamashita is always wonderful, throws out really good lariats. That was kind of a joy of this match. And then Totoro can just take a shot and kind of deliver her own from time to time. I'm not super into Ice Ribbon, or haven't been, Totoro is somebody that's being a little taking a while for me to kind of warm up to, but she definitely went a long way to do that in this match.
Yeah, I will say this, on that spot where she ran around the ring, Again, a spot that made me laugh on this show was when Rena ran around the ring and actually took the time to high-five a little girl in the middle of her run around the ring. So that's the kind of comedy that appeals to me in wrestling. And yeah,
I can get behind that as well. That one did. I got a bit of a chuckle out of me. I wish it would have come, like, I don't know, before the match, but whatever. It's pretty fun. I approve of whatever Rena Yamashita wants to do because she could probably murder me.
Yeah, Rina Yamashita is awesome, and she will always be one of the top Joshi wrestlers to me. I did get distracted at one point. Again, I'm going to update you on commentary here, since you probably muted it in this match. It was not Aihara this time. It was Maya Yuki, who was the other commentator on this show. I got distracted by this crinkling sound and the camera zooming in on her eating during this match as well. But that only lasted for a second, but I thought it was very funny that they took the need to bring that up. And I really thought Totoro really did a great job here matching up with Rena, like I said. They really pushed her as an equally dangerous opponent as Rena in a lot of ways and tried to bring her up to that level. And I thought they both succeeded. Rena did a great job, and Totoro did a great job as well. And she's still not that much of a veteran. She's only about 2 years in or so. But I thought she did a great job in this match. Like you, I think this was something that really elevated her in this match. So great job, Yamashita, here. Afterwards, she patted her on the head as well and gave her props. We're already at the semi-main here. We had the semi-finals of the Kizuna tournament. Risa Sera and Suzu Suzuki facing off against Maika Ozaki and Tequila Saya. And this was the second longest match on the show, by far the longest before the main event. And it felt like things took a real turn here in terms of length. How do you think it came across with these four?
I thought there was a little bit of a slow part in the middle, but otherwise this was really, really good. I am very high on Suzu Suzuki. I wish she would have debuted one day later so more people would consider her a rookie. But
hey, wait a minute. I just said that on Twitter. Everybody gave me heat for that. Like I said, I wasn't trying to hate on anybody. I wasn't trying to take Suzu Suzuki out of the conversation. I'm just saying, I was just asking the question on that one. So Suzu Suzuki.
That wasn't intentionally a jab at you. I've seen other people insist as well that rookie implies debuting this year, which is a weird thing in pro wrestling in general. But even with that aside, I think Suzuki is fantastic. There's huge upside to her, and I love the team with Risa Sera. And I really enjoyed Tequila Saya in this match, which is not something I can say I've experienced much before. So I think everybody in this match absolutely delivered. I think if you want to say this was the best match on the show, I would disagree with you, but I wouldn't disagree enough to argue with you. This was really, really good overall, especially in the closing stretch.
Yeah, and they did a lot of stuff here. I will say this on the show, I noted. Another thing I really didn't like about the undercard, not that I didn't dislike it too much, but I noted that to me the two spots on this whole show were the piggyback spot and the spot where you would have a bunch of flash pin reversals, like a sunset flip into a prawn hold, that, you know, going back and forth on those. They did that in like three or four matches on a six match show, and I thought that was kind of like, we don't need to see it every match, you guys. But we had everything in this match. Suzu looked absolutely phenomenal, in my opinion, in this match. She carried the match with her selling early on. Risa got the crowd into it. And they teased the bike club spot, a few times before they finally hit it. The cheering spot. I love that. The crowd got with it. Aihara did it along with her. So I was all for this overall. And I thought I liked the dynamic between Ozaki and Saya, because they would constantly like not really be that fluid of a tag team. You know, they would so if somebody was going for a pin and they wanted to do a dive, they would just try and attack both people at the same time and not worry about it. And there was a very creative spot. I mentioned the piggyback spot, but they actually did a really cool one here where Ozaki piggybacked Saya, and instead of doing a splash like normal, she jumped over Suzu and then fell back into a senton on her. So Saya landed first. I thought that was very funny. Then she just tossed her aside. And actually, the Risa and Suzu won when Risa hit a bunch of double knees off the top, Vader Bomb style. They did the piggyback double knees, and Sarah hit the air raid crash for the win. And afterwards, Maya started eating again after this match. So I think that could be a sign of what Maya considers like a 5-star match, if she starts eating or not. Just my opinion. Saya actually kicked Ozaki after the match too, and it was very sad because the way she sold it was like she was devastated and hurting with that kick to the ribs. So really good match throughout, and I thought amazing performance by Suzu. I will say before we move on, since last week you asked the question, what do you think of my idea when you asked about who should go to Mexico, and I said Suzu should go to AAA?
I mean, okay. Suzu and AAA would be a fit, but yeah. I'm still not sure. I don't know exactly who would be a great fit for Mexico in general. Actually, yeah. You know what? Let's just send Tequila Saya to Mexico. It seems like it would be a natural fit.
I mean, the name alone, yeah. if you want to go through that. But I thought Suzu and AAA would be a lot of fun, like I said. It may turn into some not fun things, considering
Yeah, I would watch out for Fabi Apache if I were her.
Yes, that would be an amazing match, but she's too busy feuding with a referee right now. So true. don't worry. Don't worry, like I said. I know on your show you talked about AAA too. So I'm thankful that I have someone on that I can bring this up to. I'm also thankful for the main event of this show. Julia and Maya Yuki. A dream match for many people. Some people have called this the match of the year in Joshi. Some people have said it was an amazing encounter. Some people said it was unexpectedly great. What are your thoughts on here? Because I know you teased this on Twitter for your show. Everybody can listen to the Private Eyeball cast if they want to hear it. But right now for our listeners, why don't you just reiterate a little bit? What were your thoughts on this match?
I think Julia is an absolute megastar in the making, as long as they keep pushing her. And I think this was the first sign of that. I'm not quite sold on Maya Yukihi right now with this title reign. I feel like I've seen her wrestle very, very well, especially with a lot of her Oz Academy stuff, which is a bit of a different beast. But I haven't seen anything from this title reign yet that makes me really excited to watch more Yukihi matches. But Julia absolutely over-delivered on this one. I think that if you want to put that belt on her soon, go for it. I don't think it would necessarily be a bad idea. She's got a long time. She's young. She's new. But I think this match was really, really good, especially down the closing stretch. But even then, it started off a little slower, but that played into everything as well. I liked this whole thing. I didn't love it. I'm not going to say match of the year contender like others have, but I really enjoyed this. I think it was one of the better Ice Ribbon things I've seen this year.
Derek, I tell everybody I put you over on Twitter. I have you on the show. And then you come on, and the first segment, you tell me you mute Aihara, and now you're not into Maya Yuki.
In fairness, I like Maya Yukihi, but I haven't felt like she's like the top person of this company with this title reign so far. She's been good. But I haven't been blown away by much. We actually talked about this when you were on my show with the Yukihi and Tsukushi match. I preferred the Panda match.
A lot of people prefer the Panda match. That one I was on an island on. I think my bias towards Tsukushi more than anything helped that. But I thought that was like a really great match, to be honest with you. Kind of underrated. But I'm just saying, you're teetering on the edge of the Shadow Realm right now. I'm Pure Heart, Pure Lariat. But
I'll bounce back in a little bit.
Oh, okay, that's good. I have faith in you. I have faith in you, so don't worry. You know, the weird thing about this match is, like you said, Julia really, I thought, had more, even not just to you in terms of standing out. I thought the crowd was really more into Julia here. The crowd immediately started chanting for her when the match starts. I think they did a good job putting her over in a way that clearly Maya Yuki is the favorite, but Julia's also not a super underdog. It's like she was there to prove herself more than anything. I loved in this match that something I noted was that even their initial lockup was great. Just for a simple collar and elbow tie-up, I thought they had a ton of passion that you wouldn't see in most matches. Julia had fire throughout, you know, and I felt like in general, very little of this, you know, there was very little slack granted in this match between these two. Everything felt earned. Even something like a kick out that Maya Yuki did, it felt like she had to really press up to lift her shoulders up rather than just Julia letting her explode out like normal. And there was a lot of different instances of this match, in this match, of something like that would happen, where I felt like they really went the extra mile to make it feel like it was earned more than anything, even just in something like an Irish whip or a kick out. Maya had some absolutely stiff kicks later on. They did. And they really waited until the end to bring out a lot of their big moves. You had some stuff with the STF earlier on that Julia countered with a bite that the crowd popped for. And they even had some, in the middle of the match, they had some unique submission work on the ground that I thought was really cool, actually. Julia actually did something that, like, Zack Sabre Jr. does with the split leg submission. Maya did a very cool Rings of Saturn invert here, so I really liked a lot of that. And they did some big moves like the twisting the arm wrench into a tombstone from Julia, which I thought was a great move. They did a one count kick out for her too, after with a knee to the face after she countered the octopus stretch. And after a struggle, hit a standing iconoclasm, and then hits a tiger driver, which was almost like a 90 tiger driver 91 style in the landing, but it was a sit out. I thought they did a great job as a traditional wrestling match here, and I really enjoyed this a lot. I would definitely say, you know, when you take everything in consideration, this has to be my match of the year for Ice Ribbon itself. In Joshi, I don't know if I put it number one right now. It's up there, but I didn't think it was my number one on initial viewing. But I thought it was a great match, though. I really enjoyed what they brought to the table.
Yeah, I would agree that I don't think I'd put it as the best Ice Ribbon match I've seen this year. I think the Risa Sarah Suzuki one from, I believe it was early May, was like Golden Week. I think that one was a little better, but this is up there. I might be a little critical on Mayu Yukihi, but she did deliver in this match down the stretch. It's not something where I'm going to proclaim her as like the deserving ace of the company or something, but she did very well on this one. Julia, though, like I said, just absolutely looked amazing. She's got a bright, bright future ahead of her. I put the title on her, do something with her. I want to see more Julia. This was fantastic from her.
I thought Maya had great kicks in the match, to be honest with you. And I liked a lot of what they did for what I said. It was more the little things, though, more than the big things. I think that really put this over the top for me. So I can see where you're coming from. I do think that they should not have Maya have all the titles at this point. Yeah. I would like to see Julia get either have a tag team run with someone like Saya, or have the triangle title, even though that's more of a comedy title. I think she should stay away from that. But her forming a tag team with somebody and getting the titles, I think, would be a great idea for her. But yeah, so that was the Ice Ribbon, Osaka Ribbon show. I thought the main event was well talked about, well publicized, and I thought it really delivered upon my expectations when I first saw it. And I watched it before a lot of people did. I'm always like first in the line, so to speak, for Ice Ribbon, but still, I really enjoyed it a lot. What did you think of the show overall? Was it a one or two match show, or did the undercard just turn you off? And like I said, it was more just a one or two match show.
Yeah, the undercard, those first three matches specifically, were a little slow. They were fine. They were mostly forgettable, inoffensive matches. But the last three matches, I thought, were all very, very good in different ways. That tag match, second from the top, I thought was my personal favorite, although I would probably say the title match main event was the objectively best match of the show. I liked that all three of those, the last matches, though, especially Rina Yamashita. Give me any chance to see more Yamashita this year, I'm jumping on it, because not seeing much of her anywhere else.
I know. Like I said, I wish she would get a title shot against Maya. I think that she'd be a great challenger.
I think that match would be fantastic. Give me all of that. Let's go. More Rina Yamashita. That's kind of my stance on Ice Ribbon.
Maybe she should just wrestle in every match.
See, I'll take that. It'd be similar to that Arisa Nakajima match for a show from Seedling a couple months ago.
Yeah, in April. Yeah, that's right. See, give Rina her own show. But I do think she'd be a great challenger. I think it looks more like Saya is going to get that shot against Maya. It's really interesting how they're booking Maya right now. And I'm kind of not sure if I like it or not, to be honest with you, even though I really enjoyed this match. I'm still a little iffy on the titles. Like, I really am. I hope that we can move on from that pretty soon. Because I think the roster is deep enough to where you could have different people on there.
Yeah, we've got Tequila Saya and Maya Yukihi, I believe, on the 30th. You know, I wouldn't be opposed if they want to give Tequila Saya the title, because, you know, Maya's got enough of them. But kind of divvy them up for a while, but I don't expect that to happen.
Okay, I feel you on that one. I like the idea of getting the titles off her, but I don't know if Saya is the person I would move the main title to, the Ice Cross Infinity title to.
She's not the one I would move it to, but you know, if I think it might be the next title challenge of all three of them, so you know, let's just sure. go. Let's get something off there. I always root for chaos when that's an option, so you know, let's get chaotic with it.
Okay, I feel where you're coming from on that one. But that was Ice Ribbon. I like the show. I really like the last three matches, like you said. And I also like the opener. Matches 2 and 3, I thought 2 actually really wasn't a good match at all, in all honesty. It had its charm to it, but it wasn't something I liked. And the third one was only okay. But I like the opener, and I like the last three matches. And the last two, I think, were... If you're scrapped for time, the last three, I would say, were the ones you need to check out. More than anything else, and the last two especially, I thought really took things to the next level. But it's time to move on from Ice right now. I really enjoyed having that talk with you, because I know you, like I said, I already knew about you, obviously we've talked plenty of times before, that you're not as into Ice Ribbon as me, so I appreciate the counter point of view in all seriousness. I'm not actually banishing you to the Shadow Realm. I actually appreciate your point of view, and I thought you made a lot of good points on that show too. So
Let's move on.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Let's move on to Seed Ring right now. We had the second in our chronological version of Joshi recently. Stay tuned right now. It happened on May the 29th and aired on June the 4th on Samurai TV. Now, this was an interesting show. It was main evented by Nanae Takahashi defending the Seed Ring Beyond the Sea title against Takumi Iroha. And the semi-main event was Arisa Nakajima. We mentioned her in the Ice Ribbon segment. She faced Asuka. And there was Beyond the Sea tag team title match with Amazon and Hiroyo Matsumoto taking on Yuki Takase, a holdover from Ice Ribbon, and Himeka Arita. So the show started off with Natsuki Tayo facing Honori Hideshima in an exhibition match. If on the Patreon of the Eastern Lariat, I did a review of the Dragon Gate, King of Gate tournaments, and they did a very similar thing with BB Hulk on those shows where he would have 3-minute exhibition matches. And they did one here with Natsuki Tayo as well. Do you wish Tayo would come out of retirement?
If she wants to stay retired, I'm not going to tell her not to, but if she wanted to come back for a couple matches, you know, I'm willing to shell out some money to see it if I had to, like, you know, I'm all for more Tayo. She can clearly still move. So, you know, if she wants to come back, I will welcome her with open arms, because, you know, she'll fit in pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, I love Natsuki Tayo. Like, I love her so much. It's crazy. But great to see her. Even doing an exhibition match is really cool. Even though on Seed Ring, she's always involved in high speed matches as the referee. So it's not like she's gone completely away and out of the mind, but still, I do think that they have something. If they just did one kind of one-off title match or something like that, say she was challenging for the title against somebody, I think that would be great. But still, it's whatever. I'll take what I can get of Natsuki Tayo. The first official match of the show was Sai versus Yuna Mizumori, who recently had a title shot, Beyond the Sea title shot earlier this year. Gato Move pro wrestler. Very known from there. What do you think of Mizumori here challenging from Gato Move, and how do you think these two flowed in this match?
It's hard to really get a feel for this one. This match was short enough as it was, but it was also pretty clipped for television, so it was kind of tough to pick it out much. I thought it was a decent enough opener. Mizumori, I liked in her match with Takahashi, but I'll talk more about Takahashi later. Sai, I've been a little cool on. She hasn't been bad at all. She's been just kind of there. I think with more kind of time working with a lot of these seedling wrestlers, especially in singles matches like this, there's some sort of potential there for her. But otherwise, I thought this was a pretty standard opening match.
Yeah, no, I agree with you too. The clipping really made it hard more than anything. But I've liked Mizumori from what I've seen from her. I think she's got a lot of potential. I'm kind of with you on Sai. It's just going to take some time, because these girls are still very young. Not everyone can be Suzu, You know, it'd just be awesome from Jump Street. The next match was the match that you don't like. The match type, rather. The three-way match. We had Mei Hoshizuki, Mei Suruga, and Maria. So this is like your wheelhouse of people in this match, I feel like. Marvelous was representing strong here with Maria. And we have Gata Move as well. So what did you think here?
I loved this match, which kind of contradicts what I was saying earlier about three-way matches, but this one absolutely clicked with me. There's been a history in Seedling with Hoshizuki and Suruga teaming together. A short history, mind you. It's been a few months. But they've been teaming together in like these high-speed matches and undercard tags. They both played off of each other very well. And Maria, this was one of the first times we got to see much offense from her. Between Marvelous and Seedling and all of her other appearances, she's been just mostly selling in a lot of her matches, just taking shots, bumping, all of that jazz. She really got to show, you know, some actual moves in this one. She's progressing very well. She's getting a bit of an attitude. And after this match, I really thought that of all three of the Marvelous rookies, Hoshizuki, Maria, and Mikoto Shindo, I thought, for a while at least, that Hoshizuki was probably the best of those three at the time. I took that back a little later, but Mei Suruga as well. I've only really, really recently started watching a lot of Gato Move because they've only really recently started uploading a lot of matches online. But I like what I've seen from Suruga, especially when she's actually in a pro wrestling ring.
You know, everyone brings that up when it comes to Gato Move. It's always the ring that they bring up, the lack of one. But Suruga, to me, I just mentioned not everyone can be like Suzu, but Suruga and Hoshizuki, they're awesome too, even though they're very young. Maria, I haven't seen as much of. I know she, I've only seen a few matches of hers, but I haven't really been sure what to make of her. And like you said, this was the first time I've got to see her do any offense, but for a quick match, this was a very fast match. It was obviously a high-speed three-way match. It only lasted 6 minutes and 30 seconds, and Hoshizuki got the win here. So, I like you said, I really loved Double Maze here, Hoshizuki and Suruga, and Maria actually impressed a little bit more than she had in the past as well. So, this was a solid undercard match, I thought. The next match, we had bringing back more Ice Ribbon people, Makoto. She was on this show as well, teaming with Yoshiko, a completely different tag partner in size compared to Tsukushi on the shows. And they faced, as you mentioned her, Mikoto Shindo, and Shindo teamed with Ryo Mizunami on this show. So how did you like this match? Because I heard a lot of praise for this as well.
This, I thought, without a doubt, was going to be the best match on the show once I saw it. I think Shindo and Yoshiko have some of the best chemistry I've seen two people have in quite a while, other than maybe Yoshiko and Iroha, but we didn't get to see them go at it. I think Shindo and Yoshiko. Yoshiko, for people that don't know, was Mikoto Shindo's debut opponent at a Korakuen Hall show last year, so they've kind of been having this on-and-off sort of feud. Every couple months or so, they'll have some sort of match on opposite sides. Sometimes they'll be teamed with each other. There's something there. But those two absolutely click with each other. I thought Mizunami was fantastic. She's always great when it comes to tag matches. They're not always high on her in singles matches, but tag team matches, she absolutely flourishes. And this was probably the best match I've ever seen Makoto in. I think she delivered everything she needed to do as well. She didn't get exposed for anything. She didn't look like a deer in the headlights sort of thing. She looked very comfortable in that position. And I think that's because Yoshiko is also a really good tag team partner. Everybody clicked in this match. Everybody played the roles they needed to wonderfully. The finishing stretch was amazing. Shindo constantly trying to steal that win from Yoshiko. And I didn't actually know the result of this match before I saw it. So that also helped to get me to believe that Shindo had a chance to get that win. And she will get that win at some point, and it's going to be a beautiful moment in her career.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Shindo here. I thought all four of them, again, I brought it up earlier, it's weird seeing Makoto be good in matches to me, because she's been, it's not like she's a new wrestler. She's been around for over a decade in the Joshi scene, and it feels like just now she's getting her groove. She's definitely a late bloomer. Based on these last two shows I've seen her in, because I thought she was good here as well. I really liked Yoshiko, and like no matter who she faced, I thought Yoshiko was the star of the match against Shindo or Mizunami. I thought she had great chemistry with both. And like you said, they're really doing something good with Shindo where if, when she does get beat Yoshiko eventually, that's going to be a really big and cool thing, I think. And I can't wait to see that. I hope this match happens at some point when in a bigger spot than Fourth from the Top, because I think that's something you could really tell a great story with.
Yeah, another thing about this match in particular as well that I forgot to mention is that the crowd for this match was absolutely on fire. Like, they were going crazy during, especially the later stretch in this match. And seedling crowds tend to be very good, if not large. But yeah, it's, everything about this match clicked with me. I thought this was one of the best matches I've seen this year, especially when it comes to tag matches. And seedling tends to do that, is they... A couple times a year, you're going to find like this random, seemingly thrown together tag team match in an undercard that greatly over delivers and is something that's going to kind of stand out compared to anything else from the year.
Man, I was really surprised. Like I said, Makoto really stood out to me in a way. Not that she was the best one in the match, but she way over delivered from what I'm used to with her. And like you said, the Cork and Hall crowd for a seed ring here. They did stand up for this match, especially for the Yoshiko parts, I felt like. So really, all around, I have to agree with you. I thought this was a great match, and I was it would have taken something special for me to say it wasn't the match of the night. The next match was the tag team match as well, this time for the Beyond the Sea tag team titles. We had Himeka Arita and Miyuki Takase facing Amazon and Hiroyo Matsumoto, a successful title defense for the team here. And what did you think of this match? Because this was an interesting mix of challengers with Amazon and Hiroyo.
This was a very different change of pace after the previous match, because the last match was really hot. It was exciting. It was fast paced. This one started off a little slow. I liked, however, Takase having to play kind of the underdog in this role. She was the only one who seemed undersized compared to everybody else, which was a different change of pace for her, because she's usually able to play kind of I don't want to say like grizzled old veteran, but kind of. That's sort of the role she adopts, even though it doesn't fit her at all. But or at least not in terms of experience level. But I really liked Amazon in this match, which was not something I could say for much of her other seedling stuff so far this year. But yeah, I thought she did very well. Matsumoto is a personal favorite, so, you know, anytime she can have some sort of big spot, I'm all for it. And Arita might be one of those wrestlers who's poised for a huge breakout in the next year or so. She's been developing at a crazy fast rate.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Even Death by Arisa Nakajima changed his name to tribute her. So you know she must be ready for a breakout soon, more or less on Twitter. So shout outs to him. And shout outs to Arita as well, who's doing great. And shout out to Takase, who I thought was awesome in this match as well. She continues to be one of my favorite people this year in Joshi. Somebody that's not like a big name or anything like that, or it doesn't feel like she's, you know, about to win a major singles title or anything like that. But just in terms of pure output of matches and what I enjoy watching, Takase has been one of my favorite people in Joshi this year. And I completely agree with you on Matsumoto. Amazing wrestler. I love everything about her. And Amazon here, I thought, was brought up by the other three, who I thought all did great. And this was a really strong match, I would say, even compared to the last one. I thought it would be kind of a come down. And like you said, it really felt that way at the start. But by the end of it, I really enjoyed this match a lot. And I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, everybody in this match played their role to perfection. I think Amazon is somebody I'd like to see get another go at these tag titles at some point in the future, especially if Takase keeps holding on to them long term. But yeah, even Amazon versus Takase is somebody, a matchup that I would be down for. But yeah, everybody delivered here. I think Takase is still a future star. She has been in this, she's basically been in the tag division since the beginning of the year, and specifically around the tag titles. I hope she holds on to him for a good long time, because it took her like four tries to actually get the belts. So, you know, I'm all on the Miyuki Takase bandwagon. Let's go.
Yeah. Between Takase and Suzu, it's like the rookies right now this year are just off the charts to me, because that level of talent is hard to see. But would you say this? Who would you say is a better tag partner for Takase? Arita or Hota, who we saw earlier this year her team with in a great match, for the record, against Arisa Nakajima and Sasamura from K-Dojo?
I think that match where she was teamed with Hota was the better match. Any a better match than anything she's done with Arita. I don't think it was bad at all. I don't think anything Takase's done this year has been bad at all, but I think that Hota match really stood out as something amazing. That's probably on my match of the year, like top 10 so far this year. I think those two click together, but I think Arita is a good partner just because there's more potential longevity there.
Yeah, like you said, that match was incredible. Highly recommend. If you haven't seen that match, that was from the January 20th show. But this was a good match too, and I think Arita is a better partner stylistically, you know, and just superficially in so many ways, because Hota, it's hard for to find somebody to fit with Hota these days, but still, that was an amazing match. What did you think of the semi-main event here? Because we had the two tag title matches that came across really well, and then we went to the singles matches to end the show. We had Asuka challenging Arisa Nakajima. And actually, their match was shorter than both of the tag matches that came before.
Yes, it was a shorter match, but I think it was a better match. Maybe not compared to that first tag match, but I put it over the tag title match. But I love these two together. I think Asuka is somebody who is unfortunately flying under the radar, at least as far as Joshi's going. I know she does a lot of other work with like 0-1 and DDT and such, so she gets, a little more visibility with DDT, but I think her seedling stuff this year has been great. I think she's been, you know, really, really good in everything she's done. She had that match with Nanae Takahashi back in March, I believe. That was a personal favorite from this year. And then this match with Nakajima, I think it looked painful. Like, those two were basically trying to murder each other. I think Asuka is a great, like, brawler. If she wants to go outside the ring and start throwing people around, she does it as well as anybody I've seen, at least in Joshi, except maybe Police. But I think Nakajima is fantastic as well, of course. Who doesn't think Nakajima is fantastic? She's everything she does is smooth, and everything she did in this match was smooth. I loved the finish of this one. I have nothing else to say other than how much I love this match. It was great. Everybody rules. This match ruled. It ruled. That's it.
Listen, it can't rule much more than that, like the way you described it, I feel like. But yeah, like Nakajima to me is such a rare performer. And I was saying this on the Patreon again, on the Rage of the Cage. Both of these women were brought up for me to score. And when we got to Arisa, my point on her, I've never seen anyone say Nakajima isn't at least great. You know, I've never seen anybody say that she's not, you know, a very good performer. And like, no matter who it is, even like Takahashi, people have criticized her plenty of times in the past. Even though obviously that's changing this year with his title reign, I don't think many people are too critical, including that match with Asuka, which you are completely correct. That was a great match in March. Nakajima is somebody that I feel like is so good in so many ways. And that she can just work it with anybody, but in a way that she brings the Arisa Nakajima style against anybody. And I think she did it again here with Asuka. And Asuka, like you said, can take this punishment and dish it out well as a brawler. I thought she worked really well within the Arisa Nakajima work rate style, so to speak. I would have liked a little more, to be honest with you. I think it could have been like on par with the main event if they had given it a little bit more time. But as it was, I agree with you. It was better than the Beyond the Sea title match a little bit. And I actually thought it was right up there with the tag match, even though I think I liked the first tag a little bit better. But still, great match here. Nakajima, I could watch all day. And Asuka, like you said, you know, you're right. She might get more publicity on DDT, but I think she's somebody that you can really put in a main event position in a Joshi company out there. And Seed Ring is really her, you know, promotion of choice right now in terms of visibility. But she can wrestle with anybody. So really enjoyed this match a lot, Nakajima beating Asuka. That's something, too. If they want to make a real feud out of this, I would love to see something where it builds to Asuka finally beating Nakajima in a singles match.
Oh, I'm all on board for that as well. I think I would love to see these two go to, like, different companies and work as well. It doesn't make it easy because Asuka technically doesn't have a home base. She's a freelancer now, but you could do something, I think, similar to like the Nakajima Ohada series from last year. That was fantastic. And just go to a couple different places. I think put them on a Marvelous show. I think Chigusa Nagai would be okay with that. Let's just get these two to work everywhere. I want to see this match again. Even if it's short, I'm fine with it. The length didn't bother me one bit. I thought this was great. I think Asuka works well with everybody. I think Nakajima is one of the best of this era. So, you know, I'm all for this match again and again and again and again.
Yeah, I'm all for that too. Like I said, I want to see more from these two. That was really my main point. I want to see more from these two because I loved what they did here in this 10 minutes or so. And like you said, this is something that you could at least go to other companies. Maybe you could even do some tag matches in some different companies with people. Like, look at Ice Ribbon. Nakajima and Fujimoto versus Asuka and Rina Yamashita. Tag match in Ice Ribbon. That's my fantasy booking right there. I would love to see that. But great match. We can all agree on that. And the main event here. Another match that got championed. Even before the Julia and Mayu Yuki match. This came out about a week beforehand. And it got a ton of buzz even then. The Beyond the Sea title match, Takumi Iroha beating Nane Takahashi, ending this title reign, the Beyond the Sea title reign, which I thought was a great highlight of the year in Joshi so far. And it comes to an end with Iroha, who I was so happy for because she's somebody that has really kind of flown under the radar herself in a lot of ways, ever since she kind of left Stardom originally. And she's done great work as a freelancer and in Marvelous. But this was the part where it really felt like she was getting the credit she deserved for all of the great wrestling that she had provided us. And I really thought that this was a great match. But what did you think here? I'll go to you, Derek. I don't want to jump on your toes. What did you think of this main event here?
This was the match of the year when I saw it. There was no question in my mind about it. I knew the result to this match going in, which disappointed me a little bit. It's not unexpected though, given that there was about a week or two delay between this match taping and this match airing. But I thought this match was amazing. These two went at it in January and Marvelous as well. That was great. I thought at that time that they couldn't top this one. They did. They exceeded it by far. I think this match gave me feelings, which doesn't always happen. Usually I see a match and I think to myself, that was very good or that was very bad. This match made me have to go lie down and think about my life for a while. Everything about this was wonderful. I think Iroha is, I think the one flaw with Iroha is that she works at primarily at a company that doesn't have a lot of traction yet. I think if Marvelous can grow to the point that it has the potential to, Iroha's an absolute megastar. And then Takahashi, she has been on such a tear this year. This is not the first great match she had. She had the other one with Iroha. She had a really good match with Yoshiko back in, I think, January. She had that match with Asuka we mentioned. Takahashi might actually be, like, pound for pound, have the best resume in Joshi so far in 2019. It's been a crazy year for both of these women.
I agree with you, honestly. Like, I had that same thought after this match was over. Even after Maya and Julia, I think this was the better match of the two. And I thought this was probably, like, the match of the year as well, especially in Joshi. And like you said, Takahashi, just an incredible year so far in 2019. And somebody that you can all – it always seems like – even though it feels kind of cheesy since it is her company – you know, you roll your eyes at it a little bit. But with her, it's like you don't because it feels like she deserves it, you know, in a weird way because her matches are all great. And she picked, to me, the absolute perfect person to pass this belt along to because Iroha, if you don't know her that well, she's going to open your eyes in this title reign. If they give her, you know, a good few months with this and let her have about 4 to 5 good defenses, she's going to be somebody that's up there too as a wrestler of the year caliber performer, most outstanding wrestler, whatever you want to call it. Iroha to me is one of the most talented in Joshi and one of the better all around performers too. I like everything about her. I love her look. I love the way she moves around the ring, the charisma she has physically. Everything about her is just awesome to me. Like Iroha is one of my favorite workers. So this to me was the best match of the year in Joshi for me as well. And I thought this whole show to me, never mind Joshi, to me anywhere in the world, this is one of the better shows up and down. I really liked everything on this card, to be honest with you, when you look at it. How did you feel about the Stay Tuned overall?
I think the weak link was the first match, but that, again, was clipped, and it didn't necessarily have to be some sort of, like, 20-minute spectacle. I think everything on this show did exactly what it needed to, and then most matches exceeded that. The undercard tag match, that the non-title match, that one blew me out of the water. The main event was amazing. All the other three matches other than the opener were wonderful, and even the opener was fine for what it was. I think this is... I can't say I've seen any show that even comes close to the overall quality of this one top to bottom this year.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, that was my feeling after the show. I thought, like, this was an incredible show. I loved all the matches, really. Like you said, the opener wasn't a great match by any means, but for an opener, it was fine, and it was only, like, you know, 4 minutes overall, it felt like, with the clipping, obviously. So, yeah, absolutely great effort from Seed Ring here. I love what they're doing in the company overall. Like, really, you look at the titles, and you have just such an eclectic mix of people getting pushes right now. That you have the old guy, the old vets in Arisa Nakajima and Nane Takahashi. You've got you know, young rookies like Arita and Takase. And now you've got Iroha, who's somebody super respected and is just now getting a big spotlight on her in terms of making air and having her matches that we're all going to enjoy, I feel like. So I can't wait to see what she does in this title reign. Who would you say are the matches you're most looking forward to potentially of her defending that title?
I mean, Iroha versus Nakajima is kind of the easy answer for that, but I am all for a Takumi Iroha versus Yoshiko match. I think those two have just a natural chemistry, and that's likely because, you know, they're both from Stardom originally, so that probably helps that. They have a history together, but otherwise, I would love to see Iroha versus Asuka. I mean, that, like, outside of the three seedling women, I think Asuka would be the kind of ideal contender for me.
Yeah, that would be great. Like, all three of those matches would be really strong, but the Yoshiko match jumped out at me right away. Like, that was what I first thought of. And Nakajima, stylistically, I think, is a hand-in-glove fit. Like you said, that's almost like the boring answer, though. You know, like, everybody already knows.
Yeah. On the note of Iroha Yoshiko, they had a match, actually, I believe in beginning of May in Marvelous. Still haven't seen that because that was a DVD release. So who knows when that's going to, you know, start popping up because you can't buy those DVDs in the U.S.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens there. I'm sure that match was an absolute, you know, fight as well. So we'll see what happens with that. But I would imagine, I don't actually know who won that match offhand, but I would imagine that would be some sort of build to see those two go at it again in the future.
Yeah, I would love that. I think that that's going to be a phenomenal if they ever get to that Seed Ring. And maybe that Marvelous match could air at some point. But like you said, just a hard thing with the DVD situation in Japan right now. But really, I liked both of those shows for what they were, but the Seed Ring show really, that was like a legit great show overall. And separated that, and we'll move on to the last segment, you know, of this three count of promotions we're on right now. We're going to jump to Stardom right now. We're going to jump a little bit forward in time, but we had some big news with the title match on this show, as well as the five-star Grand Prix block. So I wanted to get you on. I wanted to get your opinions on things, see what you thought. How much of the show did you watch, the Shining Destiny show?
There are four matches online at the time we're recording this. I have seen all four of those. So basically everything but the two tag title matches.
Yeah. Well, let's just get into it. Leo Onizaki got her first singles win over Hina here. That was really nice, I thought, here. What do you think of Onizaki as a prospect going forward, more than anything? She's somebody that's been around for a little bit. It feels like she's finally getting a chance to form her own path outside of, you know, the Jungle Assault Nation. How do you feel about Onizaki right now?
She hasn't been horribly impressive to this point, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean much. I mean, if you go back and watch old Mayu Iwatani matches, she was really bad in her early days, so I can't suggest that there's no high ceiling for Onizaki, but she's been a little slow to kind of stand out. And I think a lot of that is just because she doesn't necessarily have that that outward charisma that a lot of the other young wrestlers do. But it was nice to see her actually pick up a win. It's nice to see lately that she's gotten better gear as opposed to wearing a trash bag with fire painted on it. Hina looked solid enough as well, given her experience. So I would like to see more from Onizaki. I hope that she gets an opportunity to really kind of stand out with some against some more experienced opponents at some point soon.
Yeah, this was a rookie match for sure. Next match was Tokyo Cyber Squad, Ruaka, Bobby Tyler, and Death Yama-san. What do you think of Death Yama-san? First of all, never mind this match. They beat Saki Kashima, Sae Ida and Zoe Lucas. But Death Yama-san, always a highlight, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a strange gimmick for me. I don't mind it. You know, anytime anybody wants to do something crazy, I'm all for it. It's not a gimmick that necessarily clicks with me personally, but it's not something where I'm so annoyed I'm just going to ignore all the matches she's in. I like Yoneyama most of the time. I still like her doing this shtick. I think she's a good fit anywhere. And at this point in her career, if she wants to go around doing this, I'm all for it. You know, I welcome it. She's kind of earned the right to do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah, like I said, I agree with you on that. The only thing I don't like is because seeing her now, it's like everyone kind of labels her as a comedy wrestler. But she used to, like, whenever she does something serious, she's actually, like, super talented and really awesome. Yeah. You know, so I really think she's kind of underrated. And mostly because of these, which I enjoy. Like I said, I enjoy Death Yama-san a lot. I think it's a fun gimmick. Like you said, just craziness, more or less. But still, I thought it was, you know, I think she always looks really good. And somebody that if they ever went and said, like, look, we're going to have one run, because she's done so much comedy-wise that I don't think you could really push her as a main eventer for any sustainable period. But if they just said, we're going to have one story with her building up to a title shot, she would blow the roof off. Like, a lot of people would be really surprised if they ever gave her a chance for that. But it's probably not going to happen in Stardom, so to speak.
One more note on this match as well. This whole match was pretty much just a setup to turn Zoe Lucas heel and have her join Tokyo Cyber Squad. That was really it. So, yeah, that's really all I got to say about the match itself.
Yeah, it was like you said, it was a really kind of nothing undercard tag match. It only went, like, these first two matches went 10 minutes combined, pretty much. So, yeah, Zoe's turning and joins Tokyo Cyber Squad. What do you think of the TCS as a faction right now? Because I think what we saw, you know, in the Artists of Stardom titles, or what their match they had with Hana, Jungle, and Konami, those three fit really well. But the rest is kind of what do you think of them as a faction overall?
I think there's something there, and that's mostly primarily going to be Kiyona Konami and Hana Kimura, but I get almost a sense that it's supposed to be kind of like a successor to the original Oedo Tai, where it's basically the place you just send all of the evil foreigners who show up for a tour, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it kind of is bogged down with a bunch of the younger wrestlers as well. If it was up to me, I would probably have like Yoneyama and Ruwaka and Rina, I think, is the sister in there. Like, I would probably put them in other factions and just keep this as a kind of a close-knit group of the core three and the bunch of foreigners. But, you know, I'm not the one booking the show, so what do I know?
This is a huge-ass group. Like I said, it's getting really big now.
It's the biggest faction in Stardom, which is, even if you don't count the foreigners, I think it's still up there. So it's really, really crazy. If they want to add Zoe Lucas, you know, I whatever.
Yeah, like I said, right now, here's what I have listed as people in Tokyo Cyber Squad. If I'm forgetting somebody, you can let me know, or the listeners can let me know. Hana Kimura, Jungle Kiyona, Konami. They drafted Mary Apache and Natsumi, even though they've yet to appear with them, really. But they're still technically a part of the group. Rebel Kel, Bobby Tyler, Ruwaka, Rina, Death Yama-san, and now Zoe Lucas.
That sounds like everybody. That is when you list it out like that, that is very much a group of people who are grouped together.
Yeah. I love the main three. Like, they've hit gold with the main three. The faction itself, I think there's some growing pains that we're seeing right now. Next match was Queen's Quest, Azumi, and Bea Priestley beating Mayu Iwatani and Starlight Kid. Derek, I think one thing I know about you is that you hate Priestley so much. Think she's terrible, and you can espouse that opinion right now if you would like.
I am probably the biggest Bea Priestley fan involved with Joshi Twitter. So, you know, I love this match. I've loved what she's done since winning the title. I don't know where you get your information from, but I believe you were mistaken. This match was great. I say this with complete honesty if it sounds like I'm joking. I thought this match was wonderful. This I can't recommend going out of your way to see this match highly enough. You get Izumi and Starlight Kid work together beautifully. They're one of the best. They're going to be one of the best long-term feuds in Joshi in 5 years. Mayu back recently from her injury recovery. She was great. B was really, really good. Like, the one thing I like about B is that when she starts showing energy, she is very fun to watch. She can move fast. She can hold her own with anybody in terms of tempo. She had Mayu in a submission spot in this match. That was a really kind of good struggle and point of tension that I really liked. Everybody in this match clicked with one another. I liked B and Starlight Kid working together well, working against each other very well as well. So everything about this was great. I loved it. This is the kind of undercard tag match I want out of Stardom all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about Priestley is when I first saw you talking about her, probably, you know, like 8, 9, 10 months ago, around the time of like October, the tag league and all that, you were really praising her and hard on her. And I was like, man, what's he talking about? Like I said, it would be. And I was like, this is crazy. But lately, like these last few months, and I really think she's starting to win me over. And she's actually kind of won me over already. I really like what she's done. I loved when she won the red belt. I thought they had a really good match. I think B is of the foreigners, she's probably the best one that I could think of right now. I love that, like you said, she really knows how to convey her personality and physical charisma in the ring. And I think she's really good at that. So I think overall, B is a really good choice for Red Belt champion. And like, even when she won the Red Belt, my first anticipation, because when she first came to Stardom, I was pretty down on her as an in-ring performer. I always liked her charisma. Even on the indies, I saw when she would wrestle outside of Japan. Whenever she would cut promos, I thought she had like a lot of fire and passion. But in-ring, I thought she had a long way to go. But right now, I'm kind of on her train as well. I'm not as big of a fan of hers as you are, but still, I'm a really big fan of her right now. I think she's a really good choice for Red Belt Champion and has done a good job succeeding Kagetsu after what she did with that Red Belt title.
Yeah, B's first run, I believe that was the 2017 Tag League. I think that was when she was paired with Kelly Klein. That was a really, really rough start. That was a kind of one of those situations where I figured if they didn't bring her back, I don't think anybody would blame them, because Stardom doesn't always call people back the second time. But she was one of those that when they brought her back the second time, everything started to fall into place. And I think a lot of people have been a little... I think there's two reasons why I've seen a lot of people be overly critical on B, whether or not it's justified in some of those cases. I think one is from that first run, because she looked pretty bad in that first Stardom run. And then also her personal relationships, I think, annoy some people, which I can't comment on because I don't know the intricacies of that. But I'm sure that is part of that as well.
Well, and it's sort of weird, because I really think what you said is true about the first one with me personally. Her personal life, you know, that's her deal. Like, you know, I'm not really going to rip her for that. But her first run in Stardom, I think the problem was me afterwards, because I held it against her. And I hate when people do that. Like, I'm always saying that, like in New Japan with Yoshihashi. Like, he sucked forever, but then got good and people still said he sucked. And I hate when people do that. And I did it with B. So I feel like I deserve some shame and criticism right now because I was late to the ball because of her earlier work. And I didn't give her enough credit later on, I feel like. So I apologize, B Priestley, for not giving you enough credit early on. But I'm into your red belt run right now. I think you're doing a great job. So good stuff there. Like you said, you haven't seen the Artist of Stardom or Goddess of Stardom yet. They haven't made it. They haven't put that up yet.
From what I've seen, they have not. I'm refreshing it right now, and it is currently not online.
Yeah. Okay, we apologize. The timing didn't work out. But let's just say that Natsu Sumire was in the Artist of Stardom match, so I give a huge, great rating. I'll say that was an amazing match.
Yeah, it's a 4.5-star match.
Automatically. Like I said, you know, that's the way my star ratings work. If Sumire is in or not in a match, that's what determines if it's 4 stars or not. That match looks good. Momo and Utami versus Suzuki and Natsuko Toru as well. So look forward to seeing those in both cases. And we did see the World of Stardom title match. I like that they were quick to put this out You know, it's kind of a weird thing to not put the other matches out in order, but they really prioritized getting this main event out, and it was Tam Nakano facing Arisa Hoshiki for the World of Stardom, the white belt title match, here in the main event. And a lot of people had a lot of praise for this match too. This is the third of the three big matches that we saw this week. What did you think of these two going at it back and forth? A payoff to a longtime storyline they've been having too right now.
Yeah, so I said just a little bit ago when I saw Iroha and Takahashi that that was my match of the year. That changed after seeing this match and letting it sit up for a couple days, so I wasn't trying to blind myself with recency bias. But maybe I still was. This match touched me. I don't know exactly how. I'm still struggling to try to figure out how to best verbalize how I feel about this match. This was amazing. These two, at the build to this match over the past, however long Hoshiki's been around, was it October, I think she came back. So yeah, those two have been, you know, building this for what, 6-7 months now. The whole beginning of this match was great, where they were just standing there staring at each other and then having the kind of the slow feeling out process before they started getting into some slow mat work. And then eventually everything just started escalating minute after minute. And it was a beautiful match top to bottom. I think Hoshiki was phenomenal on her side. I wasn't as into the match where she won the title as others were, because I thought it just kind of ended a little quickly. But I thought this match absolutely over-delivered. I think Hoshiki, the spot that stood out to me the most with her was the one point where she's just unleashing everything she has on Tam, and then she hits the Brazilian kick and just collapses.
That was
wonderful. And then everything from that point on was just perfect. I have no negative things I can say about this match whatsoever.
I think Hoshiki is like my favorite wrestler in the world right now. Everything she does, she's got like the Midas touch to me. I love that match with Momo more than you. I heard you talk about it and your comments on it, and you made fair points, but to me, I just thought Hoshiki was so strong in that match. And here again, against somebody that you think about, Momo Watanabe, and she's somebody that's up there as somebody that everybody knows is a great wrestler, has really helped carry the company, have been the ace of the company in a lot of ways. Here against Nakano, she's somebody that, and just me personally, Nakano is somebody that it took me a while to get into in a way that a lot of people were. Remember when she got kicked out of a Waitotai at the start of last year in 2018, and they had all this emotion, people went crazy over it. But to me, I was kind of like, I'm not really as into her as an in-ring performer. But she's grown so much to where she can have this style of match against Arisa Hoshiki. That, like you said, the passion of this match is what got to me. More than anything in terms of a storyline or anything like that. I mean, that helped, obviously, the storyline that they had. But the passion that these two showed, that it felt real. Like, you know, even if like everything specifically action-wise wasn't real, the passion they had felt real to me, and that's what really got to me. Like you said, I love the way they built the match to that climactic moment where Hoshiki just bombed her and hit the question mark kick and collapsed, like you said. But here she got the win over Tom. I think this was a huge I don't know how to say this, but Nakano got put over too, even though she lost. You know, I think she really elevated herself in this match, in my opinion. I think this was her breakout performance. And Hoshiki is just one of the best wrestlers in this company. I don't care what anybody says. Like, to me, Hoshiki has to be one of the MVPs of Joshi, of the Joshi world this year, in my opinion. So I love this match too. If I had to give a grade compared to the other match, to me, I think I liked Iroha and Takahashi a little bit better. But the fact that this match is even in that same breath as the other two, I think is a huge win for this. And they've done a great job in Stardom of building up both these women. And it's something I could see really coming back again. We just mentioned it in the other company. It feels like every company has a feud where this is something where Nakano finally does beat Hoshiki. That'll be a great moment. And I could easily see that happening in the tournament we're about to get to. But like you said, we haven't seen the big matches on the show, so I don't think we can really fairly comment on it. unfortunately, but still, I really enjoyed that main event. And that's like a must-watch match, in my opinion. Phenomenal performance.
One more thing on that main event as well that neither of us touched on. The finish of this match was wonderful. Hoshiki hits that kick, and then Nakano just stays standing. Like, it was, she didn't fall over. Like, Hoshiki basically pretty much hit a running crossbody to knock her over and get the pin. Like, Tam looked like an absolute star. And that happened, the same thing happened with that match against Momo Watanabe at the anniversary show back in January. Like, whenever she's in one of these big matches, she absolutely delivers. She can bring it at big matches, and I kind of wish she would get more pushes, but it doesn't seem likely at this point that we're going to be seeing like Tam Nakano with the red belt anytime soon. But I'm all for it. Let's go.
It's weird because when that moment I talked about with her getting kicked out of a Wato tie, it felt like she was the next person to be getting a main event push when all that happened. So I don't know what went wrong with that, because it felt like she was there. I know that death match they had, I didn't really endear her. Like, the crowd wasn't as into that. But still, it felt like she had a huge momentum that kind of went by the wayside. Yeah, and we'll see where it goes overall.
Yeah, the crowd wasn't too into that exploding bat match, but I was. So after that match, I was very heartbroken that she didn't get some sort of mega push. But I actually, on my own show that I recorded recently, it should be coming up soon. Not to plug in the middle of this, but...
Plug your stuff.
But I talked about this by myself a little while ago, and I likened this match, Hoshiki Nakano, to the exploding bat match, in the sense that when I saw this match, I was pretty confident that there was no way I'm going to see anything else this year that tops it. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope everything I see this year, like, I hope once a month I come across something that just blows this one out of the water, but it's hard for me to envision any match that clicks with me more than this one did. This was an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah, that's a great take, man. Like I said, it's great that we have so many great matches. Like, on this show alone, we've got like three to five must-watch matches, I feel like. So, amazing week we've had seeing these shows, I feel like. So, with that said, like I said, I don't think we can really judge the full show fairly. Unfortunately, the timing didn't work out. I apologize for that. That's really on me more than anything. But I wanted to get the show out in a good way because things got screwed up last time. So we're going to move on from that to one last topic on the show. The 5-star GP. The entrants were announced just a couple of days ago as we're recording this. And I'm going to run through them here. And we could talk about it, the whole tournament. The blocks weren't announced yet, but this is who's going to be in it. Mayu Iwatani, Arisa Hoshiki, Saki Kashima, Tam Nakano, Hana Kimura, Konami, Jungle Kiona, Momo Watanabe, Utami Hayashishita, Bea Priestley, Kigetsu, Hazuki, Andres Miyagi, Natsu Sumire, Natsuka Tora, Jamie Hayter, Avery, and Casey Owens. Avery from Australia and Casey Owens from Ireland. Andres Miyagi making her 5-star debut here. What do you think of this lineup going in here? Because we've got some new people. Kimberly, Rachel Ellering, Nicole Savoy taken out from last year, replaced with Avery, Casey Owens, and Andres. So what do you think's going on here?
First thing that popped out to me is that there's 18 people instead of 16 like last year was. And that's not unusual for them to kind of raise the bar, because I believe 2016 had 14. So they're going back to having odd numbered blocks again, unless they do something weird with like having three blocks or something stupid like that. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's hope that doesn't.
But otherwise, the first thing that jumped out to me is that there's 18 people instead of 16, which is kind of nice to see. And then the other thing is that there's not a lot of foreigners. Like, if you consider B Priestley to be a full timer and don't consider her to be one of the foreigners, because she's a full timer now, so kind of unfair to lump her in with one of the visiting folks. There's really only three people in this match who are, coming in just for this, presumably just for this tour. So that's going to be kind of interesting. And even then, there's only one person in this tournament who has not worked stardom before, and that's Avery. So this is going to be a group of people who are at least somewhat familiar with what they're doing, which is going to be kind of a different feel, I think, from previous years.
Yeah, like I said, I think that's good. I think Miyagi is going to get a chance. She's a new performer. She's not a foreigner, but she came into Stardom earlier this year from Sendai. I think she's going to have a chance to really stand out and prove herself as a main event caliber wrestler in the tournament, which I think she hasn't really been put in position to do that yet, but she's going to have a chance here in this tournament. I'm really interested in her. Who are you most interested in based on this roster we have? Who, or maybe it can even be more than one person, but who are really you're super interested in how their tournaments will go?
I think both Kagetsu and Momo Watanabe are two that stand out immediately just because they're both former champions at this point, and is a the five-star Grand Prix typically doesn't push somebody who's not already at least kind of sitting near the main event level. That's more of a Cinderella tournament sort of thing, if that even. That in some cases even that doesn't happen. So I would expect we see ultimately I expect the winner to be somebody who's either been in some main event pitchers or is pretty much sitting there anyway. So I think Momo Watanabe and Kagetsu are two people to watch. But then even when you look at like the mid card, I think Natsuko Tora could be set up to have a really impressive tournament depending on who she's with. I think the right dance partner is going to give her a chance to have a couple really, really, really good matches here. And she's somebody that I've been very impressed with this year.
So I think what you're saying is you made the point about it really not being to push mid-carders and elevate them, but it's more to push the established stars.
Yeah.
That you think Sumire is going to win.
Oh, totally. Yeah, she should have had the red belt and the white belt at the same time by now. Let's be real.
I agree. Like I said, I have to agree with that point. But no, I completely agree with you about Natsuko Tora. She's somebody that's really stood out and been impressive ever since she changed. You know, I got drafted from the Jungle Assault Nation to terms of a full picture. So I think she's somebody that's grown into a full. I think that I want to see more from her. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Hayashi Shita does in this tournament. Well, because after her injury and everything, it felt like she was going to get the white belt and things like that. But she never did. She had the injury. And I think her tournament's going to be one to watch.
Yeah, I think again, I think everybody in this tournament's got to have a potential to absolutely shine. A lot of those women, though, who are kind of sitting just like a notch or two below that main event group, I think they're all interesting. They're all going to beat each other up, probably. Like Utami's not going to run the table, but she's going to look strong. I think Mayu is going to look strong, but she's probably not going to win. But you got Hanakamura is going to do really well. Konami is being set up to have a, you know, potential run. I could see Konami actually getting to the finals now that I think about it. But yeah, I think every single person in this tournament's got the potential to look great. I still don't know much about Avery, but I've people have said that she is very, very good. She's mostly hanging out in the Australian scene. But yeah, every single thing about this tournament looks wonderful. I'm more interested to see what happens once the blocks are announced, which I'm sure will be a while yet. But that is going to be kind of what sets everything in motion at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think I'm just going to phrase this in a way, because we don't have the blocks yet. It's hard to predict a finals or anything like that. Interesting to note, last year's finals was Utami Hayashi Shita versus Mayu Iwatani, and a fantastic match, for the record. But I'm just going to phrase it this way. I'm going to run through the groups here, and I'm going to ask you who has the best chance to make the finals out of the groups, okay? And in the Stars group, we have Iwatani, Hoshiki, Kashima, and Nakano. Who has the best chance to make the finals out of that group?
Those four. Just to make the finals?
Yeah.
I would say Mayu on that one.
Yeah.
I don't think Saki's got a real shot. She's fine, but she's not at that level. Orisa doesn't need to make the finals, assuming she's still the champion. I think that's a safe assumption. And then Tam, I'd love to see her make a run, but they haven't really shown any signs of her getting to that point yet. It wouldn't shock me if she made it, but I think Mayu is the safest bet.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you think she has a shot to win the tournament, repeat from last year?
Never say never with Mayu. She's the only one to win the Cinderella tournament twice. Granted, it was the first two times, so I can't rule that out, but nobody's done it yet, so hard to assume it's going to happen until it does.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, too. I love Iwatani, though, so if that happened, I'd be all for it, more or less. And also, she's in kind of a weird place right now with Hoshiki and B as the champions. Mayu's place is kind of in question right now. In terms of the main event scene. So she's somebody that I think I could definitely see her making the finals of the four. The next one, the Tokyo Cyber Squad, Hana Kimura, Konami, and Jungle Kiona. Who has the most likely out of those three?
Honestly, they're probably all in the same range, but you have to choose one. It's probably Konami. She's looked really, really good this year. She's gotten a few really big matches. Kiona's gotten a couple big matches as well. Hana really hasn't. I don't remember anything that's really stood out as a major match. She's been more of kind of a, almost like a player behind the scenes in a sense, but it wouldn't shock me either if she gets there. But of those three, I feel like Konami's slightly ahead of the others.
And like that exact reason is why I think Hana is somebody that I really pegged to have a big run. And I could easily see her making the finals. I think she hasn't had her time yet. But it feels like it's obvious that she is like what Stardom would want in a main eventer to be. She has everything in terms of the charisma and the character side of it. She stands out with her look. Her wrestling isn't as good as Konami's or Jogo Kiyona's. And I mean, those are two of the best in the company, but Kimura is just not on that level in ring. Still, though, I think that she's somebody that is going to be getting a big push sooner or later. And I think she's somebody that will always be in the mix, kind of. Somewhat similar to Mayu, where you could go either way with her. But Kimura is somebody I really peg at that could have a big run going forward. The next one is the Queen's Quest group. We have Momo Watanabe, Utami Hashishita, and Bea Priestley here. So three different people from Queen's Quest. What do you think of these three's chances?
I was joking earlier this year that Bea Priestley was going to win this tournament, but if she's got the title, I don't think that's very likely. So of those three, I think Momo is probably the most likely to get it. While you were speaking, I was running through my head of the different winners, and I'm trying to think who the youngest champion was. It's probably Toni Storm. She's like, what, 21 when she won it, 22, something like that. Not even that old. So, but other than that, like, it's typically people who have been around. The winner is typically somebody who's been around a long time, and Momo has been around a long time. So I don't think Utami's got a real, she could make the finals again, but I don't think she would necessarily win the thing, and B doesn't need to being a champion. So I think Momo is honestly one of the favorites to win the whole thing. I don't think that would come as a surprise to anybody.
And it just feels logical after that long run with the white belt. She has a direct next step in her story to go after the red belt, I think. Even though, to me, the white belt has really kind of been the main title of the company, largely due to her title run. But the red belt is a great next step for her, in my opinion. So I think, like you said, she's somebody that I pegged right away.
Yeah, the tricky part with the red belt, though, too, is that assuming B still has the title, which I don't think is unreasonable this close out, she's got a match with Momo already in the can, is my understanding. So I don't know when that will be, but I think it's probably the Nagoya show, I'm guessing. I think that's the next big show they have. But they've got something already coming up. So that doesn't mean they won't end up doing something again down the road. But it, just thinking on a little bit of a meta level, that does seem to make it slightly less likely.
That's a great point. Like I said, It's just tough with that right now, where they're going. This tournament will be happening, in a little while. It's going to be a little while before this tournament happens. So keep that in mind, depending on how things go, when you make your predictions. If you do another pick'em, Derek, you have to keep that in mind. I'm going to use your strategy against you to beat you on that. The next one, we have Awedo Tai, we have Kagetsu, Hazuki, Andras Miyagi, Natsu Sumire, and Natsuka Tora here.
And Jamie Hayter.
And Jamie Hayter, too. I was going to list her with
that.
Yeah. But sure, count her in there, too. I think her chances will be the same no matter what group you count her in. But of these girls, who do you think is the one most likely to take that next step into the finals or even win?
Yeah, I think there's three people that I have to rule out immediately from even getting to the finals. And that would be Miyagi, Natsu, and Natsuko. I think as much as I would like to see Natsu make a run, I think that would be fun. Or even Natsuko making a run. I don't think those three are in a position to necessarily do that, especially because Natsu is not actually a Stardom roster member.
Yeah.
Kagetsu's got to be one of the favorites to make a run on this thing. Hazuki wouldn't be shocking, but at the same time, she doesn't necessarily need it right now. She's doing a fine job getting pushed on her own. I think Jamie Hayter is somebody that's worth considering for that. Stardom does like to have foreigners in the finals sometimes. So, you know, of the three foreigners in this match, if you're not counting B, I think Hayter's got to be somebody worth thinking about. And then even within a waiter tie only, I'd put her only right behind Kagetsu, and even that's not much.
Wow. Like that you're feeling some kind of energy on Jamie Hayter right now.
The last we really saw of Hayter in Stardom, she had that wonderful match with Momo Watanabe. So she's somebody that Rossi seems to really like. I don't think it's completely out of the question of. I don't think her winning it is in the question is like an option. But I think there's a real possibility she can make some sort of crazy run, and if maybe not make it to the final, but I could see her being like a win and you're in situation on the last day of block play.
And she really endeared herself to a lot of the fans in last year's five-star Grand Prix. A lot of people really liked her run in there, too. I think Hazuki is a dark horse candidate to make the finals. I think they have a story, too. If Momo was to be the one to win, Hazuki making the finals against her, I think, is a possible option they could go to. I think that's something you can see. But Kagetsu is obviously the main star of the group to me right now. And we'll see how it goes. And Avery and Casey Owens, do you think they have any chance of making a splash, or is it just more about impressing people and having a good tournament in the ring than necessarily wins and losses?
I mean, we saw Tessa Blanchard get into the final on her very first tour in Stardom, so I can't rule out one of those two making a run, especially because Casey Owens has technically been in Stardom before, even though the landscape is much different since she was last around. But yeah. I could see them both having good runs. I don't think either of them have any. I would be shocked if either of them make the final, unless there's some sort of like Casey Owens versus, I don't know, like Utami maybe, because I know Casey Owens does a lot of stuff with Eve. So maybe there's something there that plays into it. But other than that, I don't expect either of these two to have a big run. Hope I'm wrong. Hope they both have great runs, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, even if they don't win, they could still stand out with their performances. So I think that's the most important thing for them. So in closing, like, this is very early predictions now. You know, I'm not putting a gun to your head. I'm not going to bring it up to you and bury you if you're wrong later on. Just one person. Who is your prediction to win the five-star Grand Prix this year?
Taking the easy option, I'm saying Momo Watanabe.
I think that's fair. Hana stands out to me. I'm really on the Kimura train right now that they're going to get behind her. But I think Momo has to be the odds-on favorite right now. So that's kind of in my head the final. They obviously might be in the same block, but I think those two are going to be the finals. Or one of those two will win, at least. So
yeah,
it should be an interesting tournament.
Yeah, thinking about the it depends on how the blocks play out, but the final that's kind of been in my head for a while now has been Momo over Hayter. We'll see what happens with that, but that's kind of the way that it's been booked in my head. Knowing my luck, they'll be in the same block, though.
Yeah, same for Hana. Maybe they'll all three would be in the same block.
I'll take matchups with those three.
Yeah, that could be good. Momo especially, I think, is going to have good matches with pretty much everybody. And this tournament, I think, is really good. I think we could see a little bit of a step up from last year in general with who they brought in and who they've added. Someone like Miyagi has a lot to prove. I think Tora is on the way to step up. And everyone has a good role, I feel like, in the tournament. So I'm really looking forward to it overall.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great tournament. The five-star Grand Prix always stands out as one of the better wrestling tournaments of the year. Last year, I preferred Catch the Wave, but I don't think that's something I'm really going to be too excited about this year, given how it's hard to find Wave. But the five-star Grand Prix is... Even if the blocks are strangely uneven, there's no way this isn't absolutely exciting.
I would love Catch the Wave if we could watch it. Like you said, like, they have a lot of cool names in there. I want to see more of that tournament. But as it is, we're going to get to see all of the five-star Grand Prix. And I think, like you said, this is probably going to be the best tournament in Joshi this year overall. But... I think that's about it for this show. Derek, I really enjoyed having you on, in all honesty. I'm really glad we got to do this. The times worked out. We did it at a good pace. Enjoyed the shows. We talked about a ton. I'm glad we got some good wrestling to have you on for. But, you know, the floor is yours here. Tell everybody where they can find you, what you're up to online, and your podcast, too.
Yeah, I'm Derek Tillotson. You can find me on Twitter at Private Eyeball or my website, privateeyeball.com, which I mostly use to update my posts on there when I update the podcast, but I don't always do that. So just follow me on Twitter at Private Eyeball. You can follow my show, The Private Eyeball Show. I named it that because I might at some point in the future not like wrestling as much, but I still might want a podcast. So that's why I didn't name it anything wrestling, but I primarily talk Joshi. Sometimes I'll get a little bit into Lucha. 2019 has been a year where I've been diving more into AAA and then a little bit of CMLL. So that's always a fun time. But otherwise, yeah, follow me on Twitter, Private Eyeball. That's the best place to find me. Leave questions, comments, follow me, watch me say stupid things and post things that nobody cares about.
Don't sell yourself short. I enjoy a lot of your meanderings on Twitter, and I'm a fan of the show too. Like, I feel like you were the one that took the step forward when it came to Joshi podcast before, you know, you beat me to the punch, more or less. So good job on that one. I have a question for you. This is some breaking news. I feel like some exclusive information, and you can feel free to dodge this question as well, and I'll edit it out. Don't worry. But what does Private Eyeball mean? This is something I've always wondered. What does that mean?
So I did a lot of theater in school, high school specifically. I was the one guy who did the theater, which meant I usually got a lot of good roles because there were no other guys doing theater on a consistent basis. But then we did, I can't remember what it was called, but we did some play about a private investigator, and somebody, I think, maybe I'm mistaken on this, but I'm pretty sure some one line in the play was that somebody referred to me as a private eyeball. So I went with that. It was originally my Xbox Live tag, and then I just adopted it for everything else because I thought it was kind of unique, and there weren't a lot of private eyeballs out there.
I mean, that's true. Like, there's no doubt about that. The marketing potential in you. I love that you have the marketing mind of being unique there. So I can't wait to listen to more of your stuff. Hopefully I can come on as well, and I know I'll definitely be having you back on, unless you grow to hate me, in which case... That would be a sad story. But until then, I love a lot of your comments. And to the listeners out there, let us know what you thought of the show and let us know what you thought of these big matches we talked about and the five-star Grand Prix. Check me out on Twitter at DylanZeroSky. You can spell all the words out, and I'm there, obviously. Check out my other show, The Eastern Lariat, the sister show to this one. It's all about men's wrestling, more or less. Even though we talk about Joshi sometimes, especially on the Patreon, I forced my co-host, Striga, the man behind cagematch.net, I forced him to talk about Joshi sometimes because I need it in my life. But hopefully you enjoyed the show. And I don't know what we're going to be doing next time, next week, who I'm going to have on, who I'm going to bring in, but it's going to be something good. I've got a few plans in mind. And until then, I'll see you later. Sayonara.